So we're going to start now on Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis. And we're looking at the Mishnah. And you may recall that yesterday we had a long discussion about the concept of Breira and the difference between Breira and Tnai. And we gave a number of different approaches. We tried to understand yesterday the difference between Breira and Tnai. Now, our Mishnah here on Daf Lamed Vav Amid Beis reflects the Shita that Yesh Breira. And therefore, if a person sets up his Eruv in two places, right? He has one Eruv on the east and one on the west. And he's going to determine tomorrow whether he wants this Eruv on the east or wants this Eruv on the west. He's going to be Kovesh Visa tomorrow based on, in the first case, where the Goy shows up, in the second case, where the Chacham shows up, whether he comes from the east, and so forth and so on. And then he's going to be Mavareo Lemafreya, which of the two Erevin was the valid one. And the Mishnah records the Tanakama, and according to the Tanakama, the Erev is valid. And he can even go as far as to say that tomorrow I'll decide which direction I will go in. Let's say, for example, a Chacham will show up from the west and a Chacham will show up from the east. I'll decide tomorrow if such an event, in such an event, that I'll go to this way or to that way. I'll decide who I want to go to. That was the Shita of the Tanakama. And then the Mishnah records the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda said that if one of the two of these Chachamim is his Rebbe, then for sure his intention when he set up the Eruv, his Das, was that he wanted to be Kohen Shvi'is in a way that he could go towards his Rebbe. And in a case where both of them are his Rebbe, he learned from both of them, then he'll decide tomorrow which one of the two he wants to go out to learn with or to receive, and that's where the Erev will be Chal and will apply the principle of Breira. So it would seem, as we discussed yesterday, that even Rabbi Yehuda accepts the principle of Breira, for example, in the case with Shneim Rabosov. And again, he doesn't know if both of them will show up, one of them will show up, none of them will show up, but he sets up his Erev, and his Erev is valid, and he can declare L'makom sheyirtzeh yelech. Wherever I decide to go, that's where my Erev should be valid, and Breira will determine his Erev L'mafreya, which of the two Erevin is the one that is valid. The Gemara says, which you'll see about halfway down the Amud, Ki Asa Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Yitzchak was one of the Israeli rabbis, and he was a student of Rabbi Yochanan. He very often would visit Bavel, so when he came from Bavel, Tani Ipcha, Kula Masnisa. He brought a Braisa that had the exact opposite of our Mishnah. What does that mean? It was clear from our Mishnah that a person wanted to run away from the Goyim, and he made a Tnai that his Eruv should be Chal in such a way that he's Kohen Shvi'isa Keneged Biyosam, meaning the opposite direction from which they came. So if the Goyim are running after him from the east, he set up his Tchum, his Eruv, to the west. In the case of the Chacham, It's just the opposite, correct? Whichever direction the Chacham comes from, that's the direction where he wants to be Kona Shvisa. He wants his Erev to be Kona, a Mokum Shvisa of him, on the very side from which the Chacham is coming. That's our Mishnah. So again, just to summarize, if you want to know which of the two Erevin will be Chal through Brera, the one on the east or the one on the west, the answer will depend upon whether you're talking about Nachri or you're talking about Chacham. If you're talking about Nachri, then it's going to be the Erev to the opposite direction the Nachri comes from. If you're talking about the Chacham, it's going to be Dafka to that direction that the Chacham is coming from. That's the Mishnah. Rabbi Yitzchak came from Eretz Yisrael with a Braisa, and the Braisa had the exact opposite, that a person wants to go where the Nachrim are. So that's where he wants to set up his Erev. So if the Nachrim turn out to be coming from the west, he wants his Erev to be Chal on the west. If the Chacham comes, in the second case, then he wants the opposite direction of the Chacham. He wants to run away from the Chacham. And his Tnai in the Erev was that his Erev should be Chal in the Tzad Shekeneged Biyoso Shel Chacham. So the Gemara right away asks, Kasha Nachrim Ma Nachrim Kasha Chacham Ma Chacham. The Braisa of Rabbi Yitzchak contradicts our Mishnah in two different cases. And the Gemara answers, Nachri An Nachrim Lo Kasha Ha Bi Far Hagvana Ha Bi Mori Demasa. What kind of goyim are we talking about? Are we talking about the tax collectors? Then he wants to run away. Our Mishnah is correct. He wants to go to the other direction. He doesn't want to get caught by the tax collectors. But if we're talking about Mari Demasa, these are the goyim who were appointed as the municipal supervisors to oversee the city. And when they showed up, it was a very rare opportunity for the Bnei Ha'ir, those who dwelled in the city, to come forward and present their gripes, or I don't want to use the word protests in these days, but they would come in front of the Moshe Ha'ir and they would say to them, look, we have cracked walls over here, the water system is not working properly, please take care of the Tzarchei Ha'ir. And that's the Braisa that says that we want to go out and meet with these Mare de Masa. So we want to go out to in their direction. Chacham Achacham Lokasha. Two categories of Chacham. Ha, our mission is Bemosiv Pirkei. And Ha, the Braisa is talking about Bemakre Shma. Mosiv Pirkei are the scholars that taught Torah on a higher level. It means it was a Chacham that came to give a drasha, a public drasha. And in such a case, obviously, the person who sets up this Eruv, if he sees that there's a possibility the Chacham might come from yonder, towards the west, let's say in that example, just giving one example, then he makes a Tanai that he'll be able to be Kodesh Vis on the west, so that he can go out and hear the drasha. You know, this is a drasha of one of the great scholars of the generation, and he wants to participate in that drasha. The only problem is he has a problem of chutz l'tchum, and therefore he wants to set up his Erev. But the Erev will now be in the direction of the Chacham, because he's flocking towards the Chacham. Again, they're not talking about Zoom over here. But ha, the Braisa is b'makrei shma. This is the Chacham that's teaching not the more mature adults, he's teaching the young children, and he teaches them how to read Kriyat Shema. He teaches them how to daven, how to be mispalel. And in such a case, the Braisa stipulates that his interest is Dafka Tzad Hasheni, on the other side. He is not making himself available for learning how to read Kriyat Shema. Baruch Hashem, he knows how to read Kriyat Shema. He would rather be available towards the opposite side, where the Chacham might come to give the drasha. So he made a tenai that if the Chacham was coming to be the Malame, the teacher of Tashbar, the Tinokash of Yisram, if he comes from the east, he wants to be Konan Erev on the western side, because that's where the Chacham who's coming to give the drasha is going, might appear, or the reverse, you know, if it, or the Chacham might come from the east and the Malame Tinokos from the west. But we begin to understand why the Braisa might, under certain circumstances, say that the Erev is Chal Dafka in the opposite direction of the Chacham, because in this case the Chacham is a Mikre Dardiki, is a Mikre Shmais, teaching the children who are very, very young. You know, I'm always reminded of the story of the Gra. I don't know if it's true or not, but they say about the Gra that he never stood up for his Rebbeim except for the Rebbe that taught him Aleph Beis. Do you remember that? Because he said, that's the only Rebbe I know who taught me the truth. Everything else I heard might have been false, but the Aleph Beis he taught me was true. Okay, now we go to the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda said that if one of the two Chachamim that are coming here from two different directions is his Rebbe, then he wants to be Kona Shvisa in that side where his Rebbe is coming in. Even though there's a great Chacham who's coming from the other side, he wants his Erev to be on the side of his Rebbe. The Tanakama made no such statement, and on the contrary, the Tanakama only made a statement that went as far as B'makom she'erza elich, which implies that no matter what circumstances are, even if his Rebbe is coming from one side and a Chacham from the other side, he's going to decide which side he wants the Erev to be Chal. Maybe he's going to go visit and learn by that Chacham who's not his Rebbe. So the Gemara asks Rabbanon, L'chor l'chachamim, disagreeing with Rabbi Yehuda, make no sense. I mean, in the case where his Rebbe is coming from that side, certainly he wants to see his Rebbe. And the Gemara answers, not necessarily so. Why? Zimnin d'nichle b'chavri tvei mi rabbi. There are certain situations in which he'd rather study under the tutelage of someone else other than his Rebbe. He hasn't yet made an absolute decision that he wants to go towards, in that direction, towards his Rebbe. And therefore the halacha breira, where he'll decide which way he wants to go, still applies even in the case of his Rebbe, because maybe he's not going to go learn by his Rebbe. And the Meiri gives two possible reasons why he doesn't want to learn by his Rebbe. He says, perhaps it's b'teva limoshech l'ponim chadoshos. He heard about a different scholar who's coming in. Hey, it's a good opportunity to hear another scholar. That's called ponim chadoshos. Or another possibility is because he feels very inhibited when he studies by his Rebbe. He doesn't want to ask questions. He's embarrassed about raising questions. But if a strange Rebbe comes in to teach him, he's not embarrassed. You know, worst comes to worst, the Rebbe will make fun of him, or, you know, tell him to take his silly questions elsewhere. What difference does it make? He's only going on a very one-shot basis. But if he's going to his Rebbe, he feels uncomfortable asking questions. I mean, you see something very interesting on the side here for this Meiri, that when you want to maximize your Talmud Torah, your Torah studies, it's not always great to be, you know, to go to the great Gadol HaDor. I remember in my day, a lot of people, you know, insisted, there was a lot of social pressure as well, to get registered into the Rav Shir, Rav Soloveitchik Shir. And Rav Chalap Shlita, I haven't heard from him in ages. I'd love to know how he's doing during this period of time. Anyway, Rabbi Chalap had the unhappy job of having to tell people to go to some of the other Rebbeim, you know, because he couldn't put all the Talmidim into one shir. You know, he had to feed all the other Rebbeim. But the truth of the matter is that sometimes it's not always great. You know, we were, in my day, we were 100 guys in the shir. And I can speak about myself. I was very inhibited to raise my voice with a question. I mean, what were the chances are that I would come up with an intelligent comment that the other 99 geniuses didn't come up with? And I can give you a list of some of those geniuses. You wouldn't, I mean, you'd probably know them without my telling you who they are. So And you don't always maximize your Talmud Torah by going to the Gadol Hador. I mean, you have to have a certain ability to raise questions, you know, to be curious. And if you're inhibited about raising questions, you might forfeit a major chunk of your progress in learning. In any event, the Miri says that there may be many circumstances in which you dafka want to go to hear this Chacham rather than hear your Rebbe. And that's the Chachamim that say that we're going to insist on his Breira here, even though one of the two is his Rebbe. Now, Rabbi Yehuda, in our Mishnah, does not deny this, the principle of Breira. And he certainly accepts Breira. For example, if the two scholars that are coming into town, one from the east and one from the west, are both Chachamim, or both of them are Rebbeim, then even Rabbi Yehuda applies the principle of Breira, and it'll only be determined on Shabbos, exactly which of the two Erevin will be Chal, and that's Huvar Adavar L'Mafreya. The Gemara now is going to quote other statements of Rabbi Yehuda elsewhere, in other contexts, and we're going to see that Rabbi Yehuda holds just the opposite. And we don't accept the principle of Breira. And we're going to have to sort of work out the glitches here and see how to reconcile Rabbi Yehuda now, Mishnah, who accepts Breira, with Rabbi Yehuda elsewhere that rejects Breira. Amar Rav, Lesa Lemasnisen, which literally means we have to reject our Mishnah, Midatani Ayo, because of a Braisa of Ayo. Ayo is one of the Chachamim. Now, the literal translation that I gave you, that we have to reject our Mishnah, is going to be correct when the evidence piles up against our Mishnah. Right now, we only have a single brisa of Ayo that contradicts the tradition of Rabbi Yehuda as presented by our Mishnah. So then I would say the phrase Lesa L'masnisin doesn't mean reject the Mishnah, but Lesa L'masnisin means the Mishnah is not so, it's not correct according to the brisa of Ayo. It doesn't mean that therefore in a head-to-head collision between a Braisa of Ayo and our Mishnah, we should therefore tip the scale in favor of the Braisa and reject the Mishnah. But if the evidence will pile up, and in addition to this Braisa of Ayo, we'll have other Braisos that indicate that Rabbi Yehuda rejects the principle of Breira, then eventually we're going to come to the conclusion that our Mishnah has to be put on reserve, put on hold. Maybe we'll have to change the gears in our mission. Now, what is the brisa of Ayo? Detani Ayo, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Ein Odom Masne al Shnei Dvarim Ke'echad. This brisa is a add-on to our mission, and specifically to Rabbi Yehuda of our Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah said that if the two rabbis that are coming from both directions, one from the east, one from the west, are both equal Chachamim, then we will apply the principle of Breira. The Brisa of Ayo denies it, and instead Rabbi Yehuda says, Ein Adam Masnal Shnei Dvarim Ke'echad. If both are equal, then the Tanai is completely invalid, the Erev is invalid, because one Erev pulls towards the east, the other Erev pulls towards the west, and Rabbi Yehuda will not accept the validity of an Erev that will be determined tomorrow. As if to say, well, I don't know which direction I want to go, do I want to go here, do I want to go there? No, that's not an Erev. According to the Brice of Ayo, Rabbi Yehuda is committed to the Bein HaShmashos theory. And the Bein HaShmashos theory tells me that at the moment of Bein HaShmashos, we have to know, certainly, without a shadow of a doubt, where he is Konish Visa and where his Erev will be valid. There's no possibility of being Mavari tomorrow. Ella, under what circumstances does Rabbi Yehuda allow a tnai? Im bachacham lemizrach, eruva eruv, bachacham lemarv eruva lemarlov, avalekan ulekan lo. Okay, let's see if we can translate this brisa, the seifa of the brisa of Ayah. We're talking about a circumstance in which he can set up a tnai in his eruv. There's one chacham, not two. We're not sure where the chacham is going to show up, from here or from there. So his statement was on Erev Shabbos that I'm laying down this eruv, and I don't know if this eruv will be valid or not valid. Im ba chacham lemizrach, I am setting up this eruv in the mizrach, and if the chacham will come from the mizrach, I want to be able to go out there and study Torah from him and go out of the tchum, and therefore my eruv should be chal in the mizrach. Alternatively, he could set up an eruv for that same chacham and add another condition. And he could say, well, I want this eruv to be chal towards the mairov, in event that the chacham will come for the mairov. If two chachamim come, lekan ulekan, one from the mizrach, one from the mairov, then the tnai is invalid, and that's called brera. So basically, what the Gemara is saying, and the Gemara is going to now try to clarify this, there's a difference between brera, where tomorrow is going to determine today, Rabbi Yehuda rejects that brera, as opposed to a case where he simply doesn't know. He is in a lack of knowledge. I'm just giving you a preview. Let's go through the Gemara inside. Maishna Hacha, why is it in the first case Rabbi Yehuda validates the Eruv? Lekan lekan lo. But in the second case of two Chachamim, which come from two different sides, and he wants to decide, well, I'll make the last minute decision tomorrow which chacham I want to go out to study Torah with, is Ein Brera. Rabbi Yehuda would hold that such a Brera is invalid, unless he makes a Tanai, as we said before, on one chacham, and he says, well, if that chacham will come from the Mizrach, I don't know where he's coming from, because I just don't know where he's located. You know, this is before, you know, before social media. So where is the chacham on the face of the earth? Is he towards the east? Is he towards the west? And he makes a statement, well, since I don't know whether he's coming from the east or coming from the west, then let's find out where he's coming from. Again, the facts on the ground are well known. The Metzius is already engraved in stone. Either the chacham is going to come from the east, or he's going to come from the west, depending upon where he is. We just simply don't know. It's a lack of knowledge. And in such a case, Rabbi Yehuda would say, that's not called brera. So he's saying that Omar Rabbi Yochanan kvar ba ha-chacham. What Rabbi Yochanan is trying to point out is that even though you might ask, well, in both cases, whether there are two chachamim, and he's going to decide which chacham, the one from the west or the one from the east, he wants to go greet, or there's only one chacham, and he doesn't know whether the chacham is coming from the east or the west, you might argue, well, in both cases, in Bein HaShmashos, since I don't know where the chacham is going to come from, whether he's going to come from the east or the west, then it's only going to become clear on Shabbos Limafreya, where he was kone his Eruv on Bein HaShmashos, that also should be called Brera, says Rav Yochanan Kvar Ba Chacham. This is not called Brera. Why? This is really a Tnai. It's one Chacham. he already showed up. Okay, now here I have to introduce Rashi into the equation. Rashi says, "Kvar ba chacham," means that he already came on Erev Shabbos. Let me try to explain, if I can. We'll see if I can be successful and convince you of this logic, and then convince myself first, and then I can convince you. Rashi rejects our understanding that the Chacham is going to come on Shabbos. We don't know whether he's coming from the east or the west. Rashi says, if the Chacham will only show up on Shabbos, either from the east or the west, that's called Brera. And in the Brice of Ayo, Rabbi Yehuda would invalidate that Erev because he holds Ein Brera. Why? Because the action of the Chacham in his travels eastward or westward on Shabbos will determine on Shabbos, Lamafreya, which direction the Erev was Konish Visa on Bein HaShmoshes of Shabbos. That's already a Birur Limafreya. Rashi therefore understood that until Rabbi Yochanan came up with what I call an Ukimta in this Brice of Ayo, the Brice itself could not be integrated. It could not be an integrally logical Brisa, because the Brisa is already committed to the position of Ein Brera in the case of two Chachamim. How then could the Brisa validate the Erev in the case of one Chacham? Because even in the case of one Chacham, Rashi understands we're talking about a Brera situation. Why? So let's read the Gemara inside. The Gemara says, Maishna lekanu lekan delo. Why is it that in the case of the Reisha of the Brice of Ayo, Rabbi Yehuda rejected an Erev when there are two Chachamim coming from two different directions, and the reason for that is because Ein Brera. So the Gemara now says that even in the case where he made a Tanai on one Chacham, and we'll only find out tomorrow where the Chacham is going to come from the Mizrach or from the Mairov, Nami Ein Brera. So Rashi was really, so to speak, focused on these words, Nami Ein Brera, that the Makshan before Rabbi Yochanan could not make any sense and reconcile the Reisha of the Brice of Ayo with the Seif of the Brice of Ayo, the Reisha in the case of two Chachamim and the Seif in the case of one Chacham, because the Makshan was of the opinion, and then we'll see if Rabbi Yochanan rejected that, but the Makshan was completely committed to the fact that Bein HaShmoshos, we have to know where this Erev is Konish Visa. And if the Chacham may show up from the Mizrach, and therefore the Erev should be Konish Visa towards the Mizrach, or alternatively, he may show up from the Meirav, and therefore the Erev should be Konish Visa in the Meirav, then when we get to Bein HaShmoshos, there's no way, nobody could clarify for us, not even a birdie in heaven could clarify for us which Erev is valid. Because right now it's Bein HaShmoshos. Nobody on the face of the earth knows where the Chacham is coming from, whether he's coming from the east or the west. The Birur, the clarification of the nature of the Eruv, is going to have to work on Shabbos L'mafreya, retroactive for Bein HaShmoshos. And therefore the validity of this Eruv would totally depend upon whether Yesh Brera or Ein Brera. Rabbi Yehuda has already committed himself to the position of Ein Brera. So once again, just to emphasize, Nami Ein Brera, the word Namiya means that if we don't know, and there's no way we could know during Bein HaShmoshos, where the Chacham is going to come from the east or the west, then that's considered Brera, because it's going to be the arrival of the Chacham that's going to determine whether or not this Erev is Kona Shvisa on the west or the east. And that's called Ein Brera. Omer Rabbi Yochanan. So Rabbi Yochanan is now coerced to the position of reinterpreting with an Ukimta the Seifa, the Brice of Ayo, so that Rabbi Yehuda will be consistent in his position of Ein Brera, and that is Kvar Ba Chacham. He was making a Tnai on his Eruv in a case where the Chacham had already come on Erev Shabbos. Kvar Ba Chacham. You have to add a few words here to the Gemara. Kvar Ba Chacham Erev Shabbos. On Friday afternoon, the Chacham came. He came either from the east or from the west. However, the Ma'arev, he doesn't know where he came from or where he came to, if you follow what I mean. It's only on Shabbos that it would be clarified to him. But although he's not aware of which direction his Erev should be Kona Shvisa on Bein HaShemashos, but the reality has already determined the Tnai, meaning the efficacy or the application of this Eruv during Bein HaShemashos. This Eruv is already at Bein HaShemashos. Its direction is engraved in stone. It cannot change from west to east. Either the Chacham came on Erev Shabbos before Bein HaShemashos from the east or the west. We may not know about that. If we don't know about that, that's not Brera. Brera means that an action tomorrow, right, Mashi Yikrelu Machar, that's going to be Mavarer, the situation of today. That Rabbi Yehuda rejects. If the Eruv and its application is not determined, that's not an Eruv. That's Brera, an Ein Brera. If the nature of the Eruv is determined but unknown, that's not Brera. Just because we don't know where the Eruv is going to be Chal, tomorrow we'll clarify that. Today we don't know, but it's already been set in stone. It's already been determined, and the Eruv therefore is Val. So this is basically, let's just get the name straight, this is the presentation of Rav, that the Brice of Ayo, in terms of the tradition of Rabbi Yehuda Shita, is a contradiction to the Mishnah, and it's Rabbi Yochanan who clarifies that Brice of Ayo. But again, we can definitely postulate a contradiction between two traditions of Rabbi Yehuda, that of our Mishnah and that of the Brice. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. Rav, you went a little bit too far. You said, Leso lemasnisen midatoni ayo? Adarabo, leso lida ayo mimasnisen? Why, Rav, are you quick to reject our Mishnah in light of the Brice of Ayo and assume that the record or the tradition of the Brice of Ayo is correct and the tradition of our Mishnah is incorrect? Adarabah, as a general rule, we rely on a Mishnah, and a Mishnah is called Ikar HaMesorah. It's Meduyak Yoser, and the Brisa may or may not be the Ikar. So again, we're trying to understand why Rav favored the Brisa and dropped the Mishnah. So the Gemara answers, Lo Salka Daita. We cannot reject Ayo and accept the Mishnah that Rabbi Yehuda is of the opinion of Yesh Brera. Dasham Inin Leila Rabbi Yehuda de Lesle Brera. Because we have additional evidence to support the fact that Rabbi Yehuda rejects Brera. And this is from, now there are two girsos here. There's one girsa that says Disnan, quoting a Mishnah in Masechta Dmai, and Tosus rejects that, and instead he has the Sanya, and he claims that the Mishnah in Dmai is not proof positive. The proof is really not from the language of the Mishnah in Dmai, but rather from the language of the Brice that we're about to study. Okay, now we're talking about Shumos Umaisras. As I said yesterday, if you heard my introduction, the issue of Brera is not an Erev issue. It's an issue in Kol HaTorah Kula, and first and foremost, in the case of Shumos Umaisras, and whether we could rely in a certain case when we buy grains and fruits that there was Trumas and Mises, that Trumas and Mises were actually separate. Halokeach Yayin Mibena Kusim. Apparently the Kusim had their own neighborhoods and they sold wine, and a person goes into that neighborhood and he buys wine. The Kusim were not reliable, to say the least, on Afrashas Trumas and Maisras, which means, therefore, that the Chazaka, the assumption of this wine, of the status of this wine, is that it's Teva. And you have to take off Trumas and Maisras. It's possible that the case of Kusim is even more, shall I say, extreme than the case of an Amoretz of Dmai. I mean, when you buy Tvua from an Amoretz, so the Rabbanon were worried that the Amoretz would not have been Mafris, Trumas, and Maisris. How much more so in the case of Kusim? Now, we have to add one point. There's a gigantic machlokas in Yevamos and elsewhere about the status of Kusim. Our sugya assumes, like one approach, that Kusim were called Gere Emes. Right? There's another approach that they were Gere Arayos, and therefore their Geres was not valid. We're assuming here that the status of a Kusi is that of a Jew, and the Geirus of the Kusim was valid, and therefore their descendants were Jewish. They were not particular about Kiyum HaMitzvahs, that's an understatement. They were even Choshen on Avodah Zorah. Now, in the case of an Amar Oretz, he says to himself, why should I be Mafresh Maser if I'm selling my crops, my grains? I don't want to suffer a loss of 10% and more. Let the Jew, the Talmud Chacham who buys the grains, let him worry about Trumas and Maisras. I'm a poor guy, I don't want to suffer the loss. Now let's go to Kusim. If we assume that Kusim are Gerei Emes, let's take a case of a wealthy Kusi. I go into a neighborhood of Kusim, and it's a very wealthy neighborhood. They don't have to be stingy about being Mafris, Trumas, and Maisras. But nevertheless, we cannot trust the Kusim. And the Chazaka here, in the case of buying wine from a Kusi, is going to be exactly the opposite of buying wine from a Jew. And the Chazaka is not going to be a Cheskas Chulin, meaning that he was Mafrish, Trumas and Maisras, but the opposite, has a Cheskas Tevel, and the assumption would be that he wasn't mafrish a trumas of maisus. Okay. Now we turn to Daf Lamed Zayin Amid Aleph. The Braisa now addresses the following issue. You purchased wine from the Kusim, and you chayev in Maser, because the Chazaka is that it's Tevel. So the Braisa wants to set up a, perhaps we'll call it a modus vivendi, some sort of operational way in which the Yisrael who buys this Tevel can eat from the fruits before he actually was mafresh. Now, we'll have to come back to this, what I call technical piece of the puzzle, a little bit later. The case that this Bryce is addressing is where the Yisrael doesn't have kalim, he doesn't have the right utensils to set up a hafrasha. Okay, again, how that works, we'll come back to this. But let's assume that right now, at the present moment, he's in an urgent situation because he wants to drink from this wine that he bought from the Kusim, and he doesn't have the proper kalim to be mafresh. Because hafrasha means that you take from one keli, take off 10%, and put it into another keli. He doesn't have any other keli. Okay, again, that's a technical issue which we can address later on. So what options does he have? And here, we're going to have a machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the other Tanoim. Rabbi Meir is going to accept Brera. And he's going to be able to drink from this wine by saying that tomorrow I will clarify where, you know, when I get a hold of another keli. So he says, Shnei Lugim, which is a certain volume, Shani Osid Lahafrish, when I get the kelim, I'll be mafrish in those two Lugim. And Harein Truma, so let's say he has, for example, 100 Lugim in a kli that he purchased from a kusi, and it's Becheskas Tevel. So he says that 2% of this 100 lug, that means 2 lugim, which tomorrow I'll be mafrish when I get a hold of a second keli, that should be truma. And now he's left with a balance of 98% after he was mafrish truma. Again, when I say being mafrish truma, that's a kind of a tricky terminology to use, because it's asidli ani lahafrish. Okay, now he's going to take the 98% of the wine that he's left with, divide it up into 10 equal portions, which I guess you would say is 9.8, right? And Maaser Rishon, that I'm going to set up one of those 10 chalakim of the 98%, and I'll be mafresh it in another keli and give that to the Levi as mas. Now, that's true for the first, second, fourth, and fifth years of the Shemitah cycle. In the third and sixth years of the Shemitah cycle, he needs to be mafresh maser sheni. What I mean to say is that, I'm sorry, in addition to Maaser Rishon, he has to be mafrish Maaser Sheni. Whereas in the other years, In years 1, 2, 4, and 5, he has to be mafrish in addition to Maaser Rishon, Maaser Sheni. In years 3 and 6, in addition to Maaser Rishon, he has to be mafrish Maaser Oni. Okay. But now he says v'tisha, right, for tisha chalokim misocham, which is 10%, right, which is 10% of the nine point whatever chalokim that he had before, is ma'aser sheni umechal. And Rabbi Meir validates the afrasha, so now he's been mafrish truma ma'aser rishon and ma'aser sheni v'shosa miyad, and now he can drink from this barrel even before he did the afrasha of trumas and ma'asers, in actuality, because that afrasha depends upon when he gets the second or the other kelim. So that later on, when he gets those kelim, he'll be mafrish in a way that it's mevar lemafreya exactly which portion is truma maser, divrei Rabbi Meir. Now again, one thing I can guarantee you, that when he gets the kelim tomorrow, he's not going to be mafrish from the wine that he drank already, because he's already drunk that wine, obviously. So the wine that he drank on Sunday is certainly chulin, if you validate that frosh of Monday. And that's Rabbi Meir. But now the Braisa continues and quotes the dissenting view. Three Tanoim, according to this Girsa in the Braisa, rejected Brera. And the first of the three on the list is none other than our buddy Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Osri. This would support the Braisa of Ayo. Why? Because Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon Osrim, meaning they reject Brera. The Truma is now mixed up with the Chulin, right? Because the Truma is not Truma. And you'll never be able to know which is Truma and which is Chulin. So if you drink anything from this mixture, you might be drinking Truma. In any event, it's clear from this Braisa that Rabbi Yehuda is committed to the position that ain't Brera. And that proves the version of Rabbi Yehuda that we just established in the Braisa of Ayo. Which means that if you have two chachamim and you want to set up an Erev in two directions, that's invalid. Because of Ein Brera. So just to summarize, we now have two Braisos against one Mishnah. Now I don't know the rules of Psak in Shas, but this sugya seems to apply the rule that if you have two braises against one Mishnah, that overrides the Mishnah. If it's one braise against the Mishnah, then the Mishnah trumps the braise. But if you have two braises to support a position that contradicts the Mishnah, then we have to refurbish the Mishnah. Ula Omar. Now Ula is going to reject Rav, who, based on Ayo and this second braise, commits Rabbi Yehuda to reject Brera. Lesali Ayo bimasnisen. The words of Ayo in his Braisa that according to Rabbi Yehuda ain Brera should be rejected because of our Mishnah. Aye, but what are you going to do with the Braisa of Trumas and Maisras? Forget about Ayo. Okay, so you say that the Mishnah topples Ayo and Rabbi Yehuda accepts Brera. But what are you going to do with the second Braisa? V'yela ha'adik tani in the Braisa of Lokech Yayin, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Osrim, Ula zuze k'tani, I'm sorry, zuge k'tani, breaking up into groups. And Rabbi Meir should be grouped up with Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi with Rabbi Shimon. Again, we don't allow that kind of literary license in the case of a Mishnah, but in the case of a Braisa, when you have one Tana against three Tanaim, that doesn't sit well with us. And we're going to apply this rule of Ula called Zuge Zuge K'tani. And it's not going to be one Tana against three Tanaim, but rather it's one plus one, meaning the first of the group of three, against the other two in that group of three. That's called zuge ketan. And therefore, in the case of the Braisa Lokeach Yayin Mibein Akusim, we're going to read it in the following way. Divrei Rabbi Meir v'Rabbi Yehuda. This method of allowing you to drink the wine based on Breira is acceptable not only according to Rabbi Meir, but also according to Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Osrim, the dissenting opinion is that of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Shimon. They reject Breira. And therefore, my friend, you have no way of drinking this wine. Now, what's important for us as we move forward is Rabbi Yossi. Because we've now committed Rabbi Yossi to the position of Ein Breira. And that works out with or without Ula. Meaning, even if I don't have Ula's principle called Zugi Zugi Ketani, even if I accept the original Girsa of the Braisa Lokeach Yayin, Rabbi Yossi goes on record as rejecting the possibility of being mafrish tomorrow for the sake of clarifying today, Ein Breira. And now the Gemara is going to embark upon another investigation, and that is, what is Rabbi Yossi's view in Kol HaTorah Kula as far as Breira is concerned? We certainly, based on the Braisa of Lokeach Yayin, have committed Rabbi Yossi to the position of Ein Breira. However, we have a Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah of Kinim. And there Rabbi Yossi applies the principle of Breira. So again, just to, you know, preview of coming attractions to get the structure of the sugya in front of our eyes, Rabbi Yossi in the Mishnah in Kinim is going to maintain Yesh Breira. Rabbi Yossi in the Braisa of Lokeach Yayin rejects Breira. That's the Gemara's Kasha at this point. Now, a very, very short introduction to Kinim. I remember once I tried to learn a little bit of Kinim. You know, again, I always blame my ninth grade math teacher for my ignorance in math, you know, but that's always a good alibi, right? But you really have to know math in order to know Kinim. But for our purposes, hopefully we'll get by this sugya and we'll understand a little bit about Kinim. Kinim is a mesechta about birds. Specifically about birds for a korban ola and a korban chatos in the case of yoledes. A yoledes has to bring an ola and a chatos. Again, there's a whole philosophical discussion as to why, if you hold our sheet in time of the mikra, why the Torah imposes a chiyuv on a poor yoledes to bring a korban chatos. In any event, now, the ola that she has to bring, in general, again, we're going to talk about the exception to the rule, but is a more expensive korban than a chatas. Because we have something called chatas ha'of, and within the structure of zvachim, when we get to korban chatas, a korban chatas ha'of is very, very common. It's not rare. But in the case of an ola, generally speaking, an ola is a zevach behema, a keves. It's an expensive proposition. And the Torah had compassion on yoledes and allowed an ola to be brought, not from a keves, but if she's a poor woman, to be brought from an oaf. Now, oaf is a generic term that has to be broken down into two subcategories. There's something called Torim and something called Bnei Yona. Okay. So the Torah commands a Yoledes, if she's an Ashira, to bring a Keves Li'ola and either a Yona or a Tar for a Chatos. And the Chatos comes from a bird, either a dove or a turtle dove. And if Ein Yoda Maseges, then she brings Shtei Torim o Shnei Bnei Yona, Echad Li Ola V'Echad L'Chatos. Now this halacha of what's called a Karman Ola V'Yored, which means that the Ashira has one set of regulations and the Ein Yoda Maseges has another set of relations, applies not only exclusively to a Yoledis, it also applies to a Zava. And the reason I mention this is because the entire Masechta Kinim is generally written in feminine. Like, for example, now we're going to have a case where the two birds of Leah got mixed up with the two birds of Rachel. Now, theoretically, you could apply this even to a male person in the case of a Zav, but there's no such thing as a male Yoledis. So since the whole parsha of Kinim, of Shnei Torim and Shnei Bnei Yona, in the case of Misha'enu Yona Masegis, applies not only to a Zava, but also to Yoledes. So I just mentioned that in passing, because that's why when we get to Masechta Kinim, and we're going to have a mixture of the Khan of Rachel with the Khan of Leah, we're always going to talk about Shtei Noshin. Even though, again, the Mishnayos of Kinim could apply to two Zavim as well. But since, we have the case of Yoledes, therefore the Mishnah is always going to talk about Noshin. Okay. So what happened in the Mishnah in Kinim, and with this we'll call it a day, Vatnan, we have a Mishnah in Kinim, and we're talking about a Yoledes, or again a Zava, and she is an Ein Yodah Maseges, so she brings either Shtei Torim or Shnei Bnei Yona. And Shtei Noshim Shelokhu Es Kineim V'Eruv, whether or not you can set up a Brera situation, is going to be recorded here in that Mishnah at the beginning of Kelim as a Machlokas between Rav Yossi, who's going to validate Brera, as opposed to the Chachamim that are going to invalidate prayer. So what's the Brera of Rabbi Yossi? Shtei Noshim Shalachnu Es Kineim Bi Eruv. Eruv is not Eruv from Masechta Eruvin. Eruv means in a mixture. And there are two Kinim of birds. Okay, any combination of two Ophos is called a Ken, and in plural, kinehem, in the language of the Mishnah. So these two women, each one of them, purchased a zug, a pair of two ophos, of a tar and a ben yona. Fine. Now we have, in this ken, four birds. Why? Because the two women, they shared, they were neighbors in Shari Tzedek Hospital, and they gave birth, and they decided that they're going to pool their efforts and purchase together these two zugos, these two pairs of birds. Okay, now there's going to be another case of Eruv, where the two zugos are undetermined as to whether they belong to Rachel or Leah, and that's called Shenasnu Dmei Kineim Lekoin. And this is a fantastical chiddush in the halachas of Kodshim, that the Kohen could determine, he could be authorized to determine which bird belongs to which of these two Noshim. And what happens is they give their funds. Leah and Rachel pool their funds and transfer their funds to the Kohen. They have shutfis in these monies, which are now mixed together. They're delivered to the Kohen. The Kohen now uses the money to purchase and be makriv these korbanos. And Rabbi Yossi validates the possibility of Eza Sheyirtze Kohen, Yakriv Ola. Okay, what's more important here, Yakriv Ola is Yaakov Ola Lizu? And which one will be Makriv Ola Lizu? Li'eze sheyirtze Yaakov Chatos. Whether it be Chatos Lizu or Chatos Lizu. Rabbi Yossi here accepts the principle of Brera. Why? Because at the time of the purchase of these two sets of birds, there was no determination as to which bird is the Karban Ola for which of these two Yoldos, and which is a Karban Chatas for which of these two Yoldos. That will be determined tomorrow, Bishas HaKrava, not at the time of the purchase. And at the time of the purchase, that's called the designation of a Karban. And in this particular scenario, according to Rabbi Yossi and Kinim, the determination of the Karban will not take place at the time of the purchase of the carbon, as it usually does, but rather at the time that the coin brings the carbon, the time of the akrova. And we're going to operate with the principle of Brera, that huvra lemafreya, which of these two birds is the ola of which of these two women, which of these two birds is the chatas of which of these two women, and which of the remaining two birds will be the ola and the chatas of the other woman. If, on the other hand, we reject Brera, then we don't know which oaf belongs to which of these two women, and we now have a taroves of two birds times two, meaning two zugos of birds. And when the akrova has to be l'shem baleim, we don't know which is the baleim, who is the baleim Rachel or Leah on this particular karmon. Now, again, to know what would be, if you hold ein brera in this case, you have to know the first Mishnah in Zvachim, and that's called shelo lishma. And if it was shelo l'shem baleim, then the baleim are not yotzei their chova. Again, the karmon will be kosher, but it's not ola l'shem baleim l'shem chova. So here, in a case of a karban ola, and we don't know whether this karban ola is Leah's karban ola or it's Rachel's karban ola, then Rachel and Leah will both have to bring a substitute karban ola. Now, as far as the chatas is concerned, again, we have to learn Masechta Zvachim for this, but in chatas, if you don't bring it l'shem baleim, the chatas is absolutely possible. You'll have to replace the chatas, not just to fulfill the obligation of the baleim, but also because of psulei chatas. Again, chatas in the constellation of Kodshim is very, very unique. You know, Kodshim Shemesu and different special dinim that apply to Karban Chatas. In any event, Rabbi Yossi in this Mishnah in Kinim accepts a view which is antithetical to his own view in the Brice of Lokech Yai. Because in the Brice of Lokech Yain, Rabbi Yossi did not allow the one who purchased Yain from the Kusim to set up a Brera situation in which he can drink the wine today and it will only be Mafresh tomorrow with Huvar Adover L'Mafre. Rabbi Yossi rejects that, forget about drinking this wine. But here in the case of two Kinim that got mixed up together, B'Taroves, Rabbi Yossi is going to allow for the Kohen tomorrow to determine which bird belongs to which of these two Yoldos, L'mafreya, accepting the principle of Yesh Brera. And that's against Rabbi Yossi in the Brisa of Ein Lokhim Yayin, of Lekichas Yayin from the Kusa. And that's going to lead us in Mishnah tomorrow to a major breakthrough here of Rabba. Omar Rabba, Hasam Kishahisnu. And here's where we're going to analyze the difference between Tanai and Brera, Imir Tzashem tomorrow.